All right, as I said, I'm going to minister a brief word, and I told my brother I would minister a little bit, but I said just go as long as you need to get the message out that's in your heart. So we praise God for that. Come on, open your Bibles quickly to Psalm 133, and I realize you've heard a message already, and so I will be very aware of that and not belabor anything. But the title of the message this morning is Unified in the Son, S-O-N, of course, Unified in the Son. Psalm 133, verse number 1 reads this way, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Now, I'll tell you something. We've been facing a lot of disunity, a lot of strife in the country, as Aaron alluded to. And I'll tell you, strife is devilish. Strife is not of God. It's pure and simple. You know, you are always going to have in this world strife. And that's sad, but it is a truth. You are always going to have that. Why? Because the devil is here in this earth. One day when we get to heaven, there will be no devil in heaven. You're not going to bump into the devil. You're not going to be tempted in any way, shape, or form to do something ungodly once you get to heaven. You realize that? Of course you realize that. And it is the truth. So it's very, very important that you recognize that strife is of the devil. Strife is the opposite of unity, and he's saying it's how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Strife is a manifestation, if you will, of the devil, because it's the total opposite of love. All this stuff around the country that you're seeing, all this hatred, all this junk, it's the devil rearing his ugly head. And all of this opposition to this Christian woman who's a Catholic lady, they've been mocking, speaking in other tongues. The comedians think they're funny. I tell you, I wouldn't want to face the Lord one day over that kind of stuff. And I will tell you right now, I pray in tongues every day. I speak in tongues every day. I pray in the Spirit. I worship God in the Spirit. I intercede on your behalf. I intercede on the country's behalf. I intercede for the lost in the Spirit because I don't know how I should always pray, but he does. Now, I'm sorry that there are goofy people running around that don't understand it and misapply it and abuse it and all that. And some have even said you're not going to heaven unless you speak in other tongues. Well, that's not true. How many of y'all know that the bottom line with going to heaven is having Jesus Christ in your heart? Pure and simple. And who do you suppose caused the new birth? Who came in and took out that stony heart that was in you and replaced it with a heart of flesh? Who did that? The Bible says it was the Holy Spirit. So when you got born again, it was the Holy Spirit who entered into and lives in your heart even today. Jesus Christ is in your heart, yes, but he's there in the person of the Holy Spirit. The Son is seated at the right hand of the Father. It's by his Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, who lives and dwells in every believer. Because Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Father God, they're three, but they are one. So when you talk about Jesus in your heart, it's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of Yeshua. It is he that lives and dwells on the inside of you. So when you get born again, the Holy Spirit came in, and your body now is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that. It's literally a New Testament phrase that we see in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, about your bodies being the temple of the Holy Spirit. It literally means your body becomes or has become the Holy of Holies of God. Now, are you going to take the Holy of Holies of God and join it to a prostitute? Are you going to take the Holy of Holies of God and look at something you ought not to look at or say things you shouldn't say or act in ways that you shouldn't? No, we ought not to be doing that. So the Holy Spirit already lives and dwells in you if you're born again. You don't get a second Holy Spirit. But when you're baptized in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit begins to function as the Spirit of God in you. Okay? Christ, or the Spirit of Christ, if you will, is what caused salvation. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 9. You can go look at it later, not right now. Let's go on, because I just have a few things I want to share with you this morning. It's great for the brethren to dwell together in unity. That's a wonderful thing. Unity is a good, good thing. And do you know that Jesus is building his church, and that's actually his number one desire, is to see the church built? And I'm not talking about Solid Rock Church or New Covenant Church or the Church of Christ right up the street here, or the Baptist Church or the Catholic Church, whatever church. We're talking about the body, okay? We're not talking about individual works. We are talking about, it's his number one goal to build the church, that being the body of Christ. How is the church built? By people accepting Jesus Christ, okay? That's how the church is built. So let's go on with that and go over to Colossians chapter 1. And the unity is a very, very important, the unity of believers, the unity of faith among believers is very important. And it's something that we need to see happening, and I'll share a story with you in just a moment. We need to see this happening within our community here and across the board throughout the country, as well as throughout the world. Now, Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 17. He is, it's talking about Jesus, before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, what is that? The church. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Let me say this about that preeminence thing right there. He should be number one. We need to be concentrating on lifting up Jesus. There's too much personal kingdom building going on in the churches. I'm going to make a name for myself. No. Hold it. You know, we need to make a name for Jesus. Amen. He already has the name that's above every name. We need to proclaim Jesus. We need to live Jesus. We need to lift him up. And when he is lifted up, he will draw all men where? Nigh unto him. Now, if I'm lifting up Jesus and you're lifting up Jesus, then we're both together lifting up Jesus, being brought nigh to him. You know, when we start talking about the brethren dwelling together in unity, one of the big keys is holding up Jesus. Because if I'm going to dwell in unity with my brothers down the street who may not believe in healing, may not believe in prosperity, have a problem with preachers being well set in life, or believers at all having anything, or if they don't believe in speaking in tongues, any of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, are we going to fellowship? Well, we can't agree. Well, I've got news for you. If you went around the room in here today, you're going to have differences with probably everybody. In fact, not probably. You will. You will. As easy to get along with as I am. Oh, now wait a minute here. You quit laughing back there. And you online, I know some of you are laughing. We would probably come on the place where we didn't agree on something. If it's something as simple as the toilet paper coming off the front of the roll versus coming off the back of the roll, I know it's a simple little thing, but the bottom line is people don't always agree. Some people agree to buy the cheapest toilet paper you can find, because after all, it's just toilet paper. Not only you bought the cheap stuff, you're making it come off the roll wrong. Not me. I know the right way it's supposed to come off. And we do not buy cheap toilet paper, trust me. No. But, funny and all that, and praise God. But the fact of the matter is, you may not agree on when you start talking about how to raise your children, when you start talking about how to deal with your finances, how you handle husband and wife relationships. Now, all these things are outlined in the Word of God, by the way. But there are places where you may not agree on, like, for instance, the toilet paper thing's not in the Word, okay? If you can find that, you can show me, and I'll go for it. But You know, practical things. Practical things. You know, just what kind of watch you ought to wear. Do you wear this type of glasses, or do you wear contacts, or do you have the thing if you need surgery, if you need glasses and don't want to wear them? How you go about things is personal in those respects. Now, if you're doing something that violates the Word of God, this applies. You don't violate the Word of God. I don't think it's a violation of the Word of God to squeeze the toothpaste from the top instead of the bottom. I don't think that qualifies, right? You know, you like blueberry pancakes and I like apple cinnamon topping on mine. All that, you know, you're wrong. No, but the fact is we need to recognize that there are some things that we don't need to major on. I spent time yesterday with a pastor. I'll give you a little background. We had an offering. It looked like an offering that was addressed to their church, and it's on this street, and it came here instead of to their church. And I called there, and I said, look, I don't want to give this back to the mailman. It'll be next week, mid-next week, before you get it. It's easier if we just hook up. And I wanted to use it as a reason to hook up. I'd never met the brother. I thought he was a brother, and I meant a male. I didn't know that it was a female. It wasn't a female. Boy, I'm digging a hole. Let's start over. You got to remember, I had 2 hours of sleep the other night, and I still haven't caught up. Anyway. Anyway, so I called the church. I left a message. The man called me back. We got together out here at noon yesterday, and he came in my office, and I gave him the envelope, and we started a fellowship. And an hour later, we were still talking. And it wasn't an argument. I didn't go to areas of, you know, potential hot spots. We were fellowshipping around Christ, around his word. Around the commonality, the fact that we both believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and we're living for him. He happens to be a pastor. I happen to be a pastor. But I thought it's so refreshing. In fact, I told him, I said, isn't this great how we just met and we're fellowshipping like we've known each other for a long time? And not one time did something come up that it was like, wait a minute, I don't agree with that. And now I'm going to jerk all that denominational slack right out of you. I didn't do that. I didn't find anything I didn't agree with him on. Isn't that amazing? And I'm sure he didn't feel that way toward me either. We had a great rapport, and we're fellowshipping. Why? We're part of the body. This is how unity comes about. It's great when it's a wonderful thing, how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity, not bickering and yeah, I'm right, you're wrong, you don't know what you're talking about, and all that stuff. Man, I mean, the church has a bigger purpose than to try to jerk the slack out of one another all the time. If somebody's saying something and believing something that contradicts the scriptures, there is that place where the Word of God instructs us. It is for, the word is for correction at times. Amen. Sure it is. And we're wrong if we don't mention it. It's how you say it can make all the difference in the world. You know, a real diplomat is somebody who can smile at you and tell you how wrong you were and you still like them. I love you. Man, you are really messed up. Anyway, come on, let's move on with this. The church is built on Jesus. This kingdom that we are to promote is the kingdom of God. Now, where is the kingdom of God? Jesus said the kingdom of God is in us, right? Some have this idea the kingdom is off there somewhere. Well, there is a place in up in the sky, as we say, called heaven. And we're going there. We're going to spend eternity there. But if we think of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of of heaven as just being someplace out in the sweet by and by, and we're just going to get through this life the best we can, and one day everything's going to be great, we're wrong. The kingdom of God is in us, and the king is king over his kingdom. Is the king king in your heart today? If he's king in your heart, then you literally become the visual representation of the kingdom of God in this earth. The king is the king over his kingdom. Jesus Christ is my king. I'm part of this whole work of the kingdom here in this earth. The king is king over his kingdom. It's a Hebrew concept. Mahochemim. And when we talk about it, it's where he's ruling and reigning. And that's where he's at. He's in my heart ruling and reigning. He's in your heart ruling and reigning. If he's in your heart ruling and reigning, then will he tell you it's okay to do this? Will he tell you it's okay to vote against or for somebody who's standing diametrically opposed to the word of God? You tell me. God's not some kind of double-minded being who says, yeah, it's okay to vote for that one. That one says kill the babies. It's okay to kill babies. I want you to vote for them. Are you kidding me? Oh, yeah, we believe in gender fluidity. You might be walking down like the road like this, and suddenly you're walking like this. I turned into a woman. No, you didn't. I can't walk like a woman. So. Men stomp, and women kind of float, you know. On your tiptoe through the tulips, you know. Oh, boy. I remember when he was on TV in the 60s. You remember that? Mary, you love Tiny Tim. I could play the, what is that thing? You go, okay, we better stop. Yeah. Tiny Tim. He wasn't that tiny, was he? That boy made some money. Yeah, everyone was laughing at him, yeah. What did Jesus say in John 14, verse 6? This is not a quiz, but that's where he said, no man comes to the Father but by me. That's part of the verse. No man comes to the Father but by me. I'm telling you this right now. In order to be a part of the body of Christ, in order to be a part of the kingdom, you have to believe in Jesus. There's not another way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's John 14, verse 6. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved in Acts chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. He is the rock of our salvation. He is the rock of offense. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 15, 14 and 15 speaks of the rock of offense. And I'll tell you something. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. It's outlined in the Bible. I believe that you'll find that in Luke chapter 20. Listen, he is the foundation. When the word said, and Jesus said, upon this rock I'm going to build my church, he was not talking about Peter. He was talking about the rock of revelation of Jesus. And Jesus is called the stone. He is the foundation stone. He is called the rock. Peter was a small pebble, if you will, a rock that could be picked up, and he would be part of the church. It's foolish to think the church was built on Peter. Peter was not a solid foundation. He denied Christ shortly after that actually happened. He's not it. He wasn't a sure foundation. So the sure foundation is Jesus. Jesus is the foundation. When you had a revelation of who Jesus was, you accepted him into your heart, you believed on him, you became another small stone added to the construction of, if you will, the kingdom of God in the earth. So we praise God that we're part of the kingdom, amen? Look at verse 24. of Colossians chapter 1, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Do we get the point that the church and the body are the same thing? Do you go to church or are you the church? We are the church. I know we talk about going to church and everyone understands, but we really go to assemble. The church assembles, okay? Quickly go to Colossians 2. Oh boy, we're coming up on lunch. All right, we're going to have lunch today. Look at verse number 18 and 19, and we will pull this together. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. Oh, no, look at that right there. You remember this, there was a TV show out a few years ago called Touched by an Angel. Y'all remember that? And people had made a big deal about angels, almost putting angels up on this pedestal and almost, and in some cases it's absolutely true, some people have worshiped angels. Like angels. They talk more about angels than they do Jesus. And the touched by an angel thing, I know it's cool. I know It's a Wonderful Life was a neat story. People don't understand the ministry of angels. Hebrews 1 verse 14 said that they are ministering spirits sent to minister for those who are heirs of reconciliation. That's you and I. I keep my angels working. And I don't mean by always being in trouble. I'm saying I keep my angels working by the confession of faith that I make out of my mouth, and I loose them to work on my behalf. Everything from, you know, protection when I'm driving my vehicle to, you know, open a pathway here in this traffic so we're not playing Frogger, you know. Some of you don't know what Frogger is. Yep. I was good at Frogger. I don't mind telling you. But I put my angels to work. But look at this. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and in worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head. Who's the head of the body again? Jesus, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. If you want to know the truth of it, verse 19 is talking about building the church. And we're supposed to do what? We're supposed to hold forth the head. Hold on to the head. Talk about Jesus. Talk about the head. Right? The more that we do this, the more we're going to unify with our brothers and sisters who are doing the same. I will say this, that having unity of faith with others of different, I don't want to say persuasions, because you can't be a Christian if you don't believe in Jesus. You don't say, well, you know, they're really sincere over there in that religion. They don't believe in Jesus Christ as Lord. They don't believe in his deity and all that, but they're really sincere people. Well, they're sincerely wrong. And you can be sincere and be wrong. How many of y'all know Hitler was sincere in his hatred, right? Oh, yeah. Al Capone was a sincere criminal. There are people that are sincere and are just flat wrong. There are those that are pushing same-sex marriage today. They're sincere. They're not biblical. And now this business out there in New York where they made it where you can abort a baby up until the time the baby's born. And in some places, even after the head is crowned and they can kill that. That's called murder any way you strike it. And do you know in that picture where they had, when they signed that bill, there was a minister in the background, smiling, happy, women's rights. Isn't it amazing, everybody who's for abortion is already born? Who said that? Ronald Reagan said that. Did you know that? Seems to me it's amazing that all the people that are for abortion have already been born. I look at that and I think, wow, playing God. You know, the bottom line is you have a choice. Somebody said, are you pro-choice, Pastor Dan? I'm pro-choice in the respect of and in the respect of. Don't you dare just take it what I just said as the end. I'm pro-choice when it comes to choosing whether to conceive a child. Yeah, you have a choice. Of course you do. But once that baby's conceived, life has been, and that is a serious responsibility, to create a life. God gave man seed and woman the egg, and when that the two come together, life is, that happens, that's done, and it's supposed to be done. In the context of marriage, obviously, but, you know, after prayer, and, well, I was an accident, you know, don't go there. The fact is, we need to be on top of this and be that strict about what we say we believe. Where's it going to end? Is there a time when some politician, go ahead, stand to your feet. Is there a time when some politician says, once you reach a certain age, you're not useful to society and it's only costing society money to keep you and all that, and we'll just have, you know, a nice little shot and put you to sleep like we do a dog? It's called euthanasia. You can't go down that slippery slope. I'm not talking about something that's just strictly political. I mean, the Word of God has something to say about that. Jesus is Lord. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. And we are supposed to take his word, walk after it, be ambassadors, representatives of him, of this kingdom in this earth. And that's the guideline to walk by. When I vote in this national election coming up, I'm not voting for really just one person. If you really want to know, oh yeah, you're voting for two. No. I'm voting for, gosh, I mean, the list goes on of what's going to, who I'm voting for. I'm voting for the security of the future of my son and your children and your grandchildren, of the kind of society that we want here in this nation. Yeah, well, others want other stuff. Well, you know what? I don't want a country where the government tells me whether I can worship God or not. I don't want a government that tells me you can't own a gun. I don't want a government that tells me, yeah, it's great, man, it's just great. If two men want to be married, we'll marry them, and that's the law of the land. No, it's not, according to the word, it's not. I don't want that. Anybody that does is messed up. That's my opinion. But I think I've got the word on my side. I mean, you know, we need to do what you're saying, brother. We need to be very much ready to look at the records, see what they're actually doing, compare it, which one lines up with the... I'm yet to find one candidate that really totally lines up with the Word of God. We have some platform things out here in the lobby that tell the platform of the Democratic Party, the platform of the Republican Party, whatever platform you vote for, that's what you're standing on, and you will be judged according to the platform that you have aligned yourself with. It's really that simple. I don't want a platform that tells me things that contradict God's word. I'm going to stand with my Lord and trust him. Now, as a candidate that, you know, doesn't align with the word, well, there's some things that are very easy, but then what about the others? I won't vote for anybody. Well, that's a really stupid thing to say, because one of these two parties is getting in, like it or not, whether you vote or not. I know this is sensitive to some, but the devil likes it to stay sensitive so nobody says anything. So I didn't tell you who to vote for. I didn't endorse one candidate over another. I say you go before the Lord. You look at the records of these individuals that are running for offices, including our brother here, and you compare them. And which one lines up most closely, if you will, with the Word of God. And that's the way you need to vote the Word. It's that simple. I'm going to tell you to vote the Word. I will tell you that. Vote the Word. Amen. Bow your head with me. Father, we thank you and praise you this day that we are men and women of integrity that love you and love your Word, and we're going to vote the Word. We're going to do that. And I just bless you, sir, and praise you and give you glory for your love for us and your blessing upon us, upon our lives, upon this nation. Father, we hold up this upcoming election to you and ask that, sir, you move in the hearts of your people and that they would listen to whatever you say to do it, and they would do it, and everybody would be blessed as a result. We thank you for it. We agree together, Lord God, that Christians will listen to you in Jesus' name, and even the world would wake up and recognize what's at stake. And we bless you and praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Can y'all say amen to that? Amen. Amen.